So again, if you're out there and you're thinking, well, I'm just going to sell my business, I won't worry about it. You're rolling the dice, my friends. You're really rolling the dice. There's a lot of things out there that's not in your control that could affect you and what your business would be sellable for. Hey, boys and girls, welcome back to Building Wealth with Dr. Wheeler. I'm Dr. Wheeler, big shocker there. Great stuff for you today. Again, we've been talking about entrepreneurship and side hustles. Now we've made all that money. You guys are churning and burning and gotten more cash in what to do with. Now we're going to look at how do we save it now that we're entrepreneurs. So strap in, get your notepad ready, and let's get going. So, right, we've started our job. We've got the side hustle going. We're now profitable. And let's remember that key word, right? Profitability. Right. For those of you who are looking to start your own business, that's probably not going to work. That's the word you're probably not going to say a lot in the beginning. Right. I would say, you know, of course, it varies by industries when profitability should take place. And, you know, some things you can help with that is look at, you know, some of your competitors, some other businesses that do what you do, and maybe ask them how long it was before they turned profitable. But just in terms of general, sense of generality, I would say in the first year, you're probably not going to be profitable. Maybe not even until the second year. I think the number one goal, year one, is profitability, profitability, profitability. Why? Because that makes you sustainable, sustainable, sustainable. If you're not profitable, you're not sustainable. If you're not sustainable, you're unemployed. And then you're back to job interviews and all that other junk that we don't want to do, right? So always think about profitability in your mind. When you do something, when you make a purchase in your business, when you approach a client, when you look to buy a piece of equipment or a piece of software or marketing, you always have to ask yourself, how is this going to make me profitable and when? When do I plan on getting a return on this investment? What does that look like? Can I sustain myself until I get that return on my investment? So let's say we've done that step, right? Let's say, because this is not a class on how to be profitable in business in general, right? Too many businesses, too many personalities, too many variables. Let's just assume you guys figured it out for now, and you're now looking at it being profitable. I just want to make that point of profitability that you cannot start saving money if you're not profitable. And some of you may be laughing, right? You may, well, of course, duh. But I'm telling you, too, I've seen it time and time again where people start their own business and get hung up about, well, I was putting 15% of my salary away in my 401k when I have a job, so I'm going to do that here, too, when I'm starting my own business. I'm telling you, your self-employment tax is already 15.3%. You already got to do that for any money that you make. You're probably going to be taking losses. It's hard to take a loss and still save money for yourself. I'm saying you can't do it. I mean, when you get in the higher echelons of math and accounting, yeah, people who are, you know, sustainable, maybe not quite profitable, able to save money too. That's another game. What I'm talking about is just survivability. You cannot save money. I can't stress this point enough. You're not saving any money if you're not making any money, okay? So if you're only making $5, you can't go save $10. And again, it may seem like simple math. It may seem like I shouldn't even have to say that. But I've run into too many entrepreneurs or self-employed people who don't understand that concept or who fool themselves into thinking they're going to make money down the road. In essence, they're putting themselves in debt by saving too early, okay? One way to know when it's time to save is when you're profitable. So just please remember that. So, okay, now, shut up, Wheeler. Enough about profitability. We get it. All right, so let's move on. All right, so how does your new entrepreneurship journey affect your retirement plans? Okay, so again, remember, here's one thing. There is no company match, right? Again, you're probably coming out of a normal job where they had a 401k or a 403b match. You put in six, they match three. You put in 10, they match five, whatever that was. Guess what? That's gone. Okay, you're just starting out. So I'm going to talk to you as if you're just starting out. Now, of course, you can have a 401k plan at your own company at some point in time, and we'll get to that. But let's just baby step this thing through. You just started out, day one of profitability. You got an extra $100 that you need to do something with. That you know, you've already eaten out. You've already celebrated. You've already bought gas and food. Now you generally need to put money away for retirement. Best way you can do that, just starting out. I would say is probably a traditional IRA, right? Just a traditional IRA. Now, I know a Roth IRA out there has got a lot of positive press, right? It's almost like those old Bud Light and Budweiser, Bud Bowl commercials in the Super Bowl. Which one's better, right? You know they actually bet it. They bet on those, who's going to win, which is insane, right? Because it's already been pre-recorded. It's not a real game. I mean, someone somewhere knows who won the Bud Bowl. But that aside, right, it's the same with a Roth IRA and a traditional IRA. Roth IRA's got a lot of positive press out there. And I'm not saying it's not undue. They're a great vehicle. And then for those of you who don't know, we have our traditional IRA here and a Roth IRA here. What's the difference? The traditional IRA works just like your 401k did at work. It grows tax deferred. What's that mean? That means you haven't paid taxes on it yet. That means a client gives you $100. You take that $100, you put it right in a traditional IRA. You don't pay taxes on it. It grows, and it grows over time. And let's say it grows to $10,000. Well, guess what happens, right? You haven't paid taxes on it yet. Guess what Uncle Sam likes to do? Being the true pimp that Uncle Sam is, he wants his money. He wants his cut. So you're going to have to give Uncle Sam some of that $10,000. And it's going to be, at that point in time, whatever you're making plus whatever that contribution goes towards. So let's just, you know, you're just going to pay income tax on it. I'll put it that way. And whatever your income is at that time plus what you got to pay there. So it could be 20%, could be 36%. I mean, as you get older, the more money you make, the more taxes you're gonna pay. That's just a constant. It very rarely goes down, especially if you're self-employed. So just realize that. In a traditional IRA, you haven't paid taxes on it. You haven't paid taxes on it yet, right? So then you got a Roth IRA, right? With a Roth IRA, you pay taxes on it now, and then it grows tax deferred, or I'm sorry, it grows tax free. And so you've never paid, you've already paid taxes on it. You never have to pay taxes on it again, right? So let me correct myself. I think I said traditional IRA is what you should start with. It's really a Roth IRA. So you need to start with a Roth IRA first versus a traditional IRA, right? And here's why. Because when you're starting out, your Roth IRA, you're going to pay taxes on that money that you made now. So if you're only making 10 grand a year, 20 grand a year, you're at the lowest tax bracket, maybe 10%, 15%, whatever it is. So out of that 100 bucks, you're only going to pay 10 or 15 bucks, right? And now when you're in the future, when you're hopefully older at 70 or 75 and you want to start taking that money out and you're making $1 million a year, well, you've already paid taxes on that first 100 and now you don't have to pay taxes on it again. And then if it's 10 grand or 20 grand, that's your 10 or 20 grand. So again, it makes sense. It's just so I correct myself, it makes sense to start off early with your Roth. When you're in a low tax bracket, you want to go ahead and pay taxes on it now. Now, conversely, if you're in a high tax bracket and you're starting a side hustle and you're, you know, already paying 36% in taxes, then probably a traditional IRA works best for you because why? You haven't paid taxes on it yet and you're already at the highest tax bracket. And so hopefully later in the future, when your older self, when you do pull out that money at 80, 82, whatever it is, that hopefully it'll be at a lower tax bracket then. So again, when you're just starting out and you're not making a lot of money and you want to save some, a Roth IRA makes sense. If you're just starting out and you're already making a ton of money, then probably a traditional IRA makes sense. So the point is you probably want to speak to somebody to make sure, maybe a financial professional, maybe your CPA, but you do want to probably start with one of those two vehicles. And for most of you, that's going to be a Roth IRA. If you want to know just for me, like when I started this company, when I came away from Edward Jones, yeah, Edward Jones had a great 401k, profit sharing, life was great. But the price you pay for being your own boss is you leave that, you know, you leave that type of lifestyle behind. There's no longer a company match. And so I'll tell you, for the first couple of years, no, I was not contributing to my retirement fund. And some of you may be like, Wheeler, you're old. Aren't you like 50? What are you going to do? I'm telling you, I'm not quite 50, but it's just the nature of the beast. If you want to be successful, you got to allocate where you want to put your dollars. You only have so many dollars to spend in your own business in the beginning. So I could either pay for retirement and not scale my business to grow, or I can pay that money and scale my business to grow. And oh, by the way, I wasn't profitable in the first 6 months to a year, right? It takes a minute. Even me, even being in the industry, even with all the accolades you see behind me and all the great people I know, yeah, I still wasn't profitable for about the first year. It takes time to scale up. So even if you know what you're doing, I'm not saying I'm a genius, but I kind of know what I'm doing. Even if you know what you're doing, you still probably won't be profitable. So please remember that you're probably not going to be saving money for the first year. If you do, for the most of you out there, a Roth IRA is going to make sense for you. And why? Because you're going to want to pay on those taxes now when it's low, and then forget about it and you never have to worry about it again. After the Roth IRA, for most of you, is probably going to look something like a SEP IRA. Now, SEP IRA is a fancy word. It's basically like a traditional IRA on steroids. All it does is it's a vehicle for self-employed people to kind of have their own 401k without a lot of paperwork. And you simply, it's really easy. It's as easy to set up a SEP IRA as it is to open up a checking account. Not a lot of paperwork needed, right? And so now it just allows you to contribute more money than that $6,000 or that $7,000 if you're over 50, and contribute more money into your retirement plan. So once you become more profitable and you don't have any employees yet, and I'll get to that in a minute, but that's probably pretty key. You probably still don't want to have any employees, but you got more than $6,000 that we want to put away a year, then you want to switch over to a SEP IRA. Why? Because they allow you to put, I think the number is something like, it changes every year. This year is $61,000 or 25% of your earned income, whichever is less. So if you only earned $100,000, then you can only put in $25,000. But if you earn a ton of money, let's say $500,000 or $600,000, then you can put up to $61,000 away, and it's going to grow tax-deferred. So it's a great way. Again, remember, we probably didn't contribute the first 1 or 2, 3 years of our business, and you know, we weren't putting in that $6,000 in a Roth IRA. Now it's a great way to catch up with a SEP IRA. Now we're able to dump in up to $61,000 into that bad boy. And now we caught up really quick. So please don't fret, right, about, hey, I didn't have a way to save in the first. I'm not saving here year one, year two. I feel like I'm swimming against the tide. It's okay. It's okay. There's ways for you to catch up as a self-employed individual. SEP IRA is a great way to do that. All right, so now you got the SEP IRA going, your business is scaled, life is good, you want to hire an employee. But guess what? Employees now, they want to want some benefits. Maybe they want a 401k because your competitors offer 401k. Now you need to offer 401k. It's not all bad. A lot of people, when they get to this stage, they stumble as far as owners, right? Because they feel like they're giving money away in a 401k. You're not. It's actually a way for you to actually save more money, again, as a business person. And I'm going to go through all the math and bore you. But again, as a business person, you're putting money away for your employees. So if you have a match, which you don't have to have a match as a 401k, but I would recommend it if you want a happy employee. I would recommend at least having a match. And the math adds up that money that you're contributing to them as a match, right, you can make it, they have to stay with you a certain amount of time before they can become what they call fully vested in that, before they can take their money with them that you gave them. And you can make that look like different things. Usually it's 2 years to 6 years. And so if they left in 2 years, maybe they only get to take 20% of what you gave them. They have to stay there 6 years for them to take 100%. Very popular. Another one is, hey, 3-year cliff, meaning that, hey, you can't take anything if you leave in the first 3 years, but after that, they're able to take 100%. You don't have to remember all those numbers. I'm just telling you, it is a way to keep talent. So if you're paying someone and they care about their 401k and they don't want to leave that money behind that you've been contributing to them, then it behooves them to stay, okay? Maybe not for lower paid people, but I guarantee you they will do the math before they just pick up and leave. But what about my 401k? So as a business owner, if you want to scale and grow, think outside the box as far as just putting money away for yourself in a 401k plan. Think about how you offering a 401k plan to your employees allows you to get better talent, to have better attainability. And what does that mean to you as a business owner? It means lower cost in training. Low employee turnover means low cost in running business to you. It means fewer mistakes, happier customers and clients, happy workers, right? Equals happy clients. And here's a little known fact. A lot of you guys don't know. Even you that are sitting out there listening to me, this is stupid. I know about a 401k. I have a 401k plan. I went on Fidelity and I put one up. I'm good to go. It's easy. What you're missing is a little thing called a cash balance plan for you fat cats out there. You're like, well, wait, what's that? Cash balance plan is something that you tag on to your 401k as a business owner that you're able to stuff hundreds of thousands of dollars now into your 401k, not just the 19.5 as an owner or with your catch up around 26, but now it's a little option, a little sweetener, a little sprinkle there for business owners called a cash balance plan. And it's a way you stuff what you want to stuff. You know, I've seen business owners stuff $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 a year on their version, their part of the 401k plan. That's how they caught up. That's where their money is, right? Protected, growing, boom. So please, if you're an owner out there and you already have a 401k plan, if you don't have a cash balance plan, I highly encourage you to look at that option. And you'll have to have a professional help you with that. You'll have to have someone called your third-party administrator. That's a person who helps run your 401k plan. You'll have to get them involved, and they'll help you run the numbers and tell you how much you can put in there. But it's pretty simple. It's basically that. You say, hey, I have an extra $300,000 or $400,000 a year I want to put in this thing. How can I do that? They'll run the numbers and show you what you need to do. Now, yeah, you might have to increase your match a little bit, but overall, you won't be having to give every employee $200,000 or $300,000, right? It's going to be very lopsided in your favor. So again, if you don't remember anything else, cash balance plan. And for those of you who are just starting out and you're not even profitable yet, just save this, tagline it, come back to it years out, and know there's a way you can catch up. So again, let's remember, right? We want to first start off and be what? Profitable all day long. Profitable, profitable, profitable. And then once you're profitable, for most of you, it's going to be a Roth IRA, and you're putting in up to $500 a month or $6,000 a year, right? Start there, get that under your feet. Then when you got more money to save, and we want to flip over to an SEP IRA, again, that increases our limit. It's tax-deferred, not tax-free. A Roth is tax-free. A SEP IRA is going to be tax-deferred, but you're going to be able to put around $61,000 a year up to that, or 25%. That's the next step. And then once you've done that and you want to hire employees and you're putting more money away, right, then we do a 401k. So that may be a lot for a lot of you to kind of swallow, but that's it. Now, there's one more that we didn't talk about that's also very popular with people in the know. So I'm going to let you guys on a little secret. I want you to lean in because I'm going to whisper it. I don't want the IRS to hear this too much, too often. But there's a little thing out there called a LERP. Right now, this isn't a snipe. Anybody been snipe hunting? Right, that joke, like, hey, we're gonna go snipe hunting tonight at camp. You go out there with a bag and wait all night, and the snipe will chase it into the bag. And guess what? There's no snipe. Snipe's not coming. Right, your friends don't like you. Right, go home. This is not that. A LIRP is a real thing. A LIRP stands LIRP. It stands for a life insurance retirement plan. Now, it may be called other things by other individuals, but that's the technical term. 77 Section 7702 plan. Those are technical terms in the tax code. You'll hear it marketed in different ways. You may hear it be your own bank and all that other stuff. Those are kind of salesy, gimmicky kind of things. But in essence, this is one thing that you can do as a business owner, and it's going to do a couple things for you, right? It's where you... Right, so let me break it this way. When you think about life insurance, you're thinking about, let me get as much death benefit for as little money as possible. Well, I think we all understand that, right? So Alert flips that on its head, right? Alert says, let's get as little death benefit for as much premium as possible, right? Let's see how much we can get. How much premium, you know, will get us as little death benefit as possible? And you might, well, that's stupid, Wheeler. No, it's not, because we don't care about the death benefit at this point. We're not getting this for life insurance. That's the loophole. That's the dirty secret. That's the one that the government allows and the IRS allows. So probably sooner or later, they probably won't allow it much longer anymore. But they will allow it, right? Because, I won't get into why, but they do allow it for now. And so as much premium you have in there, now that premium is working for you. And there's different types of LIRPs, and you can have it in an indexed LIRP, following indexes like S&P 500 or Barclays or European index, whatever you want to have. You can set up different ways. It's going to grow for you just like it would in a brokerage account or in a Roth IRA. It's growing tax-free, right? Now, in a Roth IRA, it's grow tax-free. In a LIRP, that money grows tax-free. It's a long-term investment, though. You don't want it for just a couple of years. You want to have this thing for 10 or 20 years, and it's going to bring up that cash value. And then along the way, if you need money for emergency purposes for a business owner, let's say an air conditioning unit blows out or a piece of machinery blows out, or maybe a COVID happened and you needed to sustain your employees for another month or two. Well, LIRP is a great way to take a loan from yourself out of that cash value that you've built up. And all it does is reduce your death benefit that you don't care about anyway. And you guess what? You don't have to pay the loan back. You have, in essence, taken out money tax-free. So let's say you put in 10 grand a year over the course of 10 years, and now that thing has grown to $300,000 year 11, and you're like, hey, I want to pull out 50 grand to go buy a Corvette. You don't have to say why. You just call up the company that you have alert with, and they give you the 50 grand. They don't care why. You don't have to fill out a form for the government saying, hey, I need this Corvette for business purposes because it makes me look cool and gets me where I need to go fast. They don't care. You just get your 50 grand. So another great thing about alert is you're kind of protected. Everybody kind of heard about, you know, people buying a home in Florida. I think some of you have heard me tell my story about Bernie Madoff. Bernie Evers. Bernie Madoff's another one, though. Bernie Evers grew up right down the street from him. He's the guy that did WorldCom, MCI, Shyster, swindled a lot of people out of money. Guess what he bought in Florida, though? $32 million home. Guess what they couldn't seize? $32 million home because of loss, right? Because that's his home. And they want to kick people out of their home, right? Alerp is the same thing. It's like your home. Since it's life insurance, the government will not seize it for you. Now, there's always a bell ringer. You know, it's not 100% all the time, but 99% of the time, Alerp protects you as a business owner if you get sued. Let's say you run a restaurant, someone slips and falls. I don't know, you're going to have your insurance to cover that. But let's say they do a civil lawsuit on top of that, right? Now you have Alerp, right? They would say, hey, well, you've got this Alerp worth $2 million. We want some of that money. Nope. Too bad. That's my life insurance. That's not up on for grabs on the table. You can have what's in my business, but you can't have that available, right? So if Amber Heard came out of Johnny Depp, and Johnny Depp had all his money in an alert, too bad for Amber Heard. Okay, that's the type of stuff I'm talking about. So again, this is a higher level concept, but one a lot of people don't know about. Even for those who out there go, hey, Wheeler, this is all pretty simple stuff. SEP IRAs, 401ks, blah-de-blue-blue, right? I gave you a couple tidbits, right? Cash balance plan for you big rollers, and alert for you big rollers. And even if you're not a big roller, let's say you've maxed out your Roth IRA, you're maxing out your 401k at work, and you're still doing your side hustle, and you need to put that money somewhere else. Alerp is a great tool to use. It gives you protection. It gives you tax-free growth, right? It helps you have a legacy to leave behind should something happen. And it gives you liquidity. And liquidity in business is key. If you don't have liquidity, you don't have a business. And for those of you who don't know what that means if I can't have access to cash when I need it, then I don't have a business for very much longer, right? Because usually that's an emergency. So Alerp is a great way to come around all of that. Now, I'm not saying just do Alerp, right? You really need to speak to a financial professional to make sure it fits in your plan. But honestly, if you're an entrepreneur and your planner isn't bringing up Alerp to you, go get a new advisor, right? Because they're not giving you the whole story. Or maybe they don't provide that service, right? So remember that, Alerp. So only about 13% of people who are self-employed save money for retirement. That's, again, almost 1 out of 10. I don't know what's special about that 1 out of 10, but only 1 out of 10 guys and girls out there are saving money for their retirement. And again, I kind of spoke to that a little bit. A lot of businesses fail early on. After 5 years, they're out of business. So that number speaks to that a little bit. But another reason is they got to pay bills, right? I told you, you got to be profitable. You got to pay bills. You got to pay the bills before you can pay yourself in retirement, right? You got to live. You got to pay for food and gas. You got to pay for your business operations. And usually why they're not saving for retirement is they just don't have the money to do so. Nothing wrong with that. Again, I told you how you can catch up pretty quick later on in life. So remember that. Don't think it's all bad. Also, another reason is a lot of people plan on selling their business when they retire. Okay, that's not a bad plan. I hope to do that. That's part of my retirement plan, is that when I build up this empire Wheeler, that someone else is going to want to buy this empire and go. What's the problem with that, though, if that's the only thing I'm doing? The problem is I better hope it sells. I better hope that somebody wants this clump of whatever this is. Whatever that is you're building and is your business, it's got it. What are you selling them? Okay, what type of business are you in? And if I'm going to buy it, what am I getting? If it's a services business, right, like mine's a service business, it's not brick and mortar, what are they getting? So in my instance, they're getting my clients, hopefully, and I help move my clients over there. If you're a restaurant, obviously, you're hoping that your restaurant is something that people want. I have a friend who ran a pizza place for 15 years. He tried his best to sell that business for two years. And it was a leased space. He didn't even own the brick and mortar. It's a leased space, brick oven, pizza oven, you know, some stuff like that, restaurant material. 2 years, guess what happened? Nobody bought it. Nobody bought it. So what does he do? He closes it down, right? Quits paying the lease and sells the equipment, the restaurant equipment. He probably got, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50 grand. That's it. He didn't get $1 million. He didn't get 3x EBITDA, or whatever the cool thing is that somebody wants to use, meaning revenue. He didn't get 3x the revenue of annual revenue as a buyout. None of that. No one asked him to stay on as a CEO. Closed down his shop. Got a $50,000 consolation prize, and off the door he goes after 15 years. So again, if you're out there and you're thinking, well, I'm just going to sell my business, I won't worry about it. You're rolling the dice, my friends. You're really rolling the dice. There's a lot of things out there that's not in your control that could affect you and what your business would be sellable for. So again, when you're looking at retirement plans, think about you, think about growth, think about your employees. I think about that story with, Shaq talking about to Kobe that he's not passing the ball enough, thinking about, his other employees. And Shaq told Kobe, hey, there ain't no I in team. Everybody heard that. So old, right? Hate that phrase, right? So you know what Kobe said to Shaq? He goes, yeah, but there sure is an ME in that mofo. So me, right? So think about that, right? With a splash, right? Think about yourself, but also think about your employees when it comes to saving for retirement. So this leads us into, what are your options again? Just going to want to recap from above, right? We've talked about a traditional IRA and a Roth IRA. For most of you, the Roth IRA is going to make sense. You want to graduate to a SEP IRA. A lot of real estate agents, almost every real estate agent I know has a SEP IRA. It's just a great way to bump up and do quick. So if you're in a position where you're, hey, I'm going to be self-employed and I'm not going to have any employees, then for you guys, probably a SEP IRA is going to make the most sense. And then skip over the 401k part and probably go right to the LERP. Again, there is a solo 401k. I'm not going to get into that. Again, that's for a one person. I have a 401k. It makes sense in certain instances, but for the majority of you out there, it's probably a SEP that's going to be best for you, and then combo that up with maybe a LERP. Again, look to a regular 401k when you have employees. Think about that cash balance plan, a great way to buffer up your savings. For you fat cats out there, there's a thing out there called a simple IRA or simple 401k. I'm not going to get into those. They're out there. You can Google it. They've kind of fallen out of favor. The ones I've talked about probably trump that a little bit for various reasons, but they are out there. And again, there are tax credits for you as an entrepreneur. So if you do have your own business and you do have, four or five, maybe 10 employees, there are tax credits available. Tax credits means money. The government's going to give you money to start a 401k plan. So in essence, if you work it correctly, the tax credits out there available today will fund the startup of a 401k for you. So in essence, a 401k pays for itself. So if I said to you, hey, would you like a 401k for free? You would probably say yes. That's in essence what the government is saying for majority of people out there. And again, talk to your CPA about that or a financial professional. They'll help you with that. But there is money available for you. Always the LERP is something that you should, if you're making too much, right? Again, we talk about it. You can't make too much to put into a Roth. So if you're making around over 200 grand, you can't put into a Roth, okay? So then that LERP, that life insurance retirement plan comes into play. I'll give you a quick story. I mean, it's who used it in the past that you may know? McDonald's, if you ever saw that movie, The Founder, they didn't really talk about it, but where did he get money? He had cash balance in a life insurance plan, and he used that. Right, because the bank wasn't going to give him a loan for a fast food place back then. That was kind of an anomaly. He couldn't get a loan from the bank for that. So he used his life insurance policy and the cash balance of that to fund McDonald's. Here's another one for you boys and girls. Who likes Disney World? Right? I like it okay. I don't like paying Disney World. My girls love Disney World. I don't. Walt Disney financed Disney World, that swamp in Florida, with what? His retirement plan money. His insurance cash value is what he used to finance that. So there is a precedent. I know a lot of us have this bad taste in our mouth about life insurance. Wheeler's trying to sell me life insurance. Ned Niedermeyer off of Groundhog Day. No, I'm not doing that. I'm saying in certain instances, it makes sense. I'm saying don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. I'm saying explore that option for you fat cats out there that it can make sense. Most of my high net worth clients have one. It is a very special case, though, and you got to. I would highly encourage you to speak to a true financial professional, not just an insurance salesman. There's a difference, okay? There is a difference. So make sure that if someone's going to try and speak to you about ALIRP or try and sell you ALIRP, that they can sell you everything. They're not just limited to selling you life insurance products. That will help you know their true intentions, because not everybody's out there like me as a fiduciary, meaning they don't have to act in your legal best interest. So if you're not careful, you can get wrapped up into ALIRP that does not make sense for you. So please be wary of that. And always remember, be profitable first. Even at Edward Jones, right? For my Edward Jones brother out there who think you're killing it. You know, I know you got that red and green line out there that you see every day. And guess why you're getting all the phone calls every day about where you at and all those helpful hints from Uncle Eddie up north? Because you ain't profitable yet. Once you get profitable, Uncle Eddie doesn't care anymore. And so even Edward Jones, the huge financial institution like that, with trillions of dollars under management, monitors the individual branch's profitability, right? And if that branch isn't profitable, guess what? That branch gets a ton of attention. So in this case, if you're an entrepreneur, right, which I'm sorry, Edward Jones people, you are not entrepreneurs. But for those of you out there who are starting your own business, you are your own headquarters. You've got to make sure you're profitable first. You got to find a way, a software program that measures that. You would be far better off when you do that. And again, we've talked about the data. Most people don't have retirement plans, but unfortunately, that's just the nature of the beast. And so to wrap it up, Ben Franklin put it like this. Hey, I'd rather go to bed without dinner than rise into debt. So that's you starting out. Remember that. Hey, for the first year, it ain't going to be pretty. I'm not going to be putting a ton of money away for my retirement. But guess what? My glory day is coming. And when it comes, I got upteen ways to catch up, quick, and be there in a hurry. So listen, I hope this helped you guys. Again, we talked about how we went from, you know, starting our own business. We got it launched. Now we're profitable. Where do we stuff our cash for a later day for our retirement? I hope it helped. Look forward to seeing you guys next time. Hey, thanks for listening this week. I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you tune in next time to figure out how do we build wealth from ground zero. What's ground zero? When you're broke. Tune in next time. Thanks.